We're going to start our new series through the month of August in the book of Proverbs, And so the theme will be walking in wisdom. With it, the school starting, that's kind of a good way to begin the school year, trying to attain and gain wisdom. Amen? How many of y'all think that's a good idea to have wisdom? Especially as school is on us. So if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word. I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 1, 1 through 7. We'll be in chapter 2 for the main text of the message. But I want to start with reading Proverbs 1, starting verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that we have. We pray, God, that you would speak to us, and may we be obedient, and may we hear you, Lord. And, Father, that today, as you speak, we would gain wisdom, that we'd value your word, and that we would cherish it. I'm going to preach plain today, so plain that a child could understand. I do understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. So I want to draw your attention to two verses in chapter 1, and the first one is in verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5, where it says, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Let the one who what? Hears. Let the wise hear, okay? We're going to look at some actions that we need to take in order to value, in order to gain understanding and wisdom. And we'll see that the wise person is one that hears and grasps and understands. Look at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools, what? Despise wisdom and instruction. And throughout the book of Proverbs, you've got to ask yourself, which person do I want to become? Which person am I? Who am I? Am I the wise person or am I the foolish person? Do I seek wisdom and understanding and instruction and guidance? Or am I a fool and avoid all of that? So what we're going to do is talk about this morning, walking in wisdom, the value of it and the blessing of it. Look at chapter 2. We're going to start there in chapter 2. You ready? It says, my son, if you receive my words. Do you see that word receive? My son, if you receive my words, this is an action on the learner. This was a book written mainly by Solomon to his son. And Solomon wanted his son to become, number one, someone who would know God and follow God and glorify God with their life, that he would bring glory to God, that he would bring good to others, that he would bring blessing to those around him, and gladness to his own soul. That a believer, a follower of God, one brings glory and honor to God, is someone who is a blessing to others around them, brings good to them, and gladness to their own soul. That it is a joyful, fulfilled life to be a believer and follower of Christ. And so he says, my son, if you receive my words. Now, one of the character traits that we have to have if we're going to be wise is humility. If we're going to be wise, we're going to have to be humble. And the reason why I say that is this, is that in order to be wise, you have to receive instruction. And you have to be humble enough to say, I don't know it all. I still need to learn. If you already know it all and you know everything and you're just the be-all of everything, then you're never going to learn anything, right? Have you ever tried to explain something to someone that's hard-headed? It's like they already know it, you know? Some of you are like, yeah, that's my kids. They become teenagers and they become brilliant, right? They just know everything. But you have to be humble enough to admit that I need to learn, I need to grow in that, I need to receive the words. He says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you, treasure up that I keep those hid inside me. How can a young man keep his way clean and pure? By in obedience to God's word. I have hid your word in my heart, the psalmist said, so that I might not sin against God. Make your ear attentive to wisdom, inclining your heart to understanding, having a bent down heart that's ready and willing to receive instruction and understanding. You see these action words here, these verbs here that we're to do, to receive, treasure, make our ear attentive, incline. Then look at verse 3. Yes, if you what? If you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, call out for insight. If you say, hey, I need to learn some stuff. I need insight. I need wisdom. I need knowledge. I need understanding. That's exactly what James said for us to do, wasn't it? If any of you all lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously, right? Let him ask of God. You need wisdom? Ask of God. Now look at verse 4. If you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. See that? If you seek it like silver, search for it like hidden treasures. I'm sure we all watch TV in this place, right? We all watch TV. How many of y'all ever watched like the History Channel, and there's a show on there called The Curse of Oak Island? Anybody? Okay. The Curse of Oak Island. So there's an island where it is believed that there is treasure there. And these guys, they go, and the whole show is about their adventures and what they do to try to find this treasure. And they go through all kinds of resources. All kinds of money. I mean, they're spending millions of dollars trying to find this hidden treasure that's buried in the earth. And, I mean, they're digging holes. They're draining swamps. They're putting people down wells and swimming through. And they're trying to take video. And they're like, oh, we see something shiny. And then next week you'll see. And, you know, it kind of just kind of catches you. You're like, oh, are they going to find it? Are they going to find it? And they spend countless amounts of time, energy, and resources trying to find hidden treasures of the earth, right? Because they feel and they believe that all of that effort and all of that money and all of that time is worth it if they can find the treasure. Well, what the Word of God says is that we are holding a treasure chest in our hand. That the Word of God is like gold, silver, precious stones. There's diamonds, there's jewels, there is a gold mine of knowledge right here in our hands of knowing God and wisdom and knowledge that is worth more than rubies. And many of us never open up this field and dig in it and search it and seek it. It's as if we say, Lord, thank you for your Bible, but I'm good. I don't really need it. I don't need to read it. I know enough already. And the Bible would say that if that is your attitude, then you're acting foolish. Because the wise person is humble and a learner and says, God, I want to know more of you. I want to experience you. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you, God. And when God, when you read the Word of God, you are reading the very words of God. It's His breath that's come. The Word is the inspired Word of God that He breathed out. And so when we read the Word of God, we're hearing from the voice of God. And I know the Holy Spirit can speak to us, as you know, when we're walking along, and He can direct our paths and guide us, and He can impress on our hearts and minds. But one of the main ways that God will speak is through His Word. And we dig and we treasure and we find gems of precious insight and knowledge of who God is. Because look at verse 5. If we will seek it like treasure. Verse 5. Then you will what? Understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You want to know God more? Grow in your walk with the Lord more? Read His Word. Dig in it. Study it. Get the diamonds in here. There's wealth of knowledge. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. The Lord gives wisdom. He gives knowledge. He gives understanding. And so what we believe is that the Bible is fully sufficient. It is all sufficient for faith and practice. So we believe that the Bible and the Bible alone is the only book that we need to know God and to follow God. Okay? Not saying that there's not other books that can be helpful, but there is one book that is all sufficient in us knowing who God is and living for Him is found in the Word of God. It's not the next conference. It's not the next video series. It's not the next seminar. It is found in the Word of God. Do you understand? Everything we need to know about God and how to follow Him and live for Him and glorify His name and bless others is found in God's Word. Now, because the Bible is fully sufficient for all faith and practice doesn't mean that the Bible gives us information in all areas that we need to know. It's not sufficient for all things. For example, you're going to be a brain surgeon. You're not going to read the Bible and the Bible tell you how to perform brain surgery. True? You're going to have special education and schooling and insight and wisdom in being able to carry that out. However, the God of the Bible, the God of the Bible is the one who made the brain. So do you not think that God could give you insight and understanding in your study of the anatomy and how to perform the brain surgery? Can He give you insight and knowledge in your studies? Absolutely. That's why as we go back to school and you go back to college, you allow God to be part of everything that you do. See, here's what we do as Americans. We like to separate the secular and the sacred. And we say, this is my secular life, and this is my sacred life, and they're separate from one another. In reality, that's not true. As a believer, everything becomes sacred. All that I do becomes a way to glorify and honor the Lord. And so in my studies, I'm honoring Him. I don't understand math. I believe all truth is God's truth. And if I don't understand math, I say, Lord, help me as I'm studying my math. I don't get it. I'm having trouble. Help me. Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your insight. Teacher, I need your help. I don't get it. Can you help me? I need to, whatever, ask for wisdom. Seek wisdom. Do you not think that God will give that to you? I believe He will. Do you think God wants you to be successful and succeed and to be well educated so that you may be a blessing to other people around you? Yes or no? Yes. I know He'll do this. Why? Because He did it to people in the Bible. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken captive and King Nebuchadnezzar threw them in a new school, they went to a foreign school, learned a foreign language, learned different literature, learned a different religion. And the Bible tells us in Daniel that God gave them an increase in knowledge in all forms of literature. So even though the Bible might not tell you how to write an essay, the Lord can give you wisdom and insight when you study on how to write an essay. He can help you. He can equip you in that. In Exodus chapter 30, verse 35, when God gave Moses the commandment to build the tabernacle, it says that the Spirit of God came upon a man named Bezalel, and that He gave him the wisdom, the skills, the ability to craft things. So even if you go to a trade school and you have a skill, a technology, a skill that you work with your hands, God can give you insight and wisdom on how to better be using the works with your hands. I believe that. I believe that God wants to be a part of everything that we're doing. He can give us increase. And I know a guy that was a boss of a company, and he knew that there was something wasn't right. There was something going on in the company. He could not put his finger on it, but he knew that there was something going on that shouldn't have been going on. And he began praying, reading the Bible, just seeking wisdom, saying, "Lord, I need help. I need insight. I need understanding. Something's not right, and I don't know what's going on, but I'm just praying for that you'd give me insight and wisdom." And what happened was, the Lord just kind of brought to his mind something, and he jumped up, wrote it down, and that very day he went in, and sure enough, found out that some individual, was robbing and stealing from the company. Because I believe that God wants us to succeed and do well in all areas of our life. Teachers, how many teachers do we have in the house today? Teachers, administrators, people that's going to be working with schools, kids. Okay, do you not think that the Lord can help give you insight and wisdom in the kids that you're going to be teaching and caring for? Absolutely. Praying over your kids. Now, not when school starts and you're going around and laying on hands on all the kids, but before school gets started, I know a guy who went and taught in Louisville, and some of y'all know him. He was with us in the very beginning of the church start, Brad Byram, wonderful teacher, a band teacher, and he would go around and go to school early, and he went and sat in every chair that the students were going to be in, and he prayed, you know, "God, help me to teach this student today. Give me insight, wisdom on how I can connect with this kid. That God would help that student get what I'm trying to teach them." You think God does? You think He desires for us to be knowledgeable? Absolutely. Skillful? Absolutely. Okay? So God gives us wisdom and knowledge, not just in faith, but just in everything, so that our life can be used for His glory. Does that make sense? So go to the Lord in every area and ask for wisdom. That's why your most successful people are lifelong learners. They're always learning. Now, you know, I don't talk a lot about myself, but one thing, I love to read. I'm a reader. I love sports. I don't get a chance to play sports a lot. Coach a lot of sports. We don't get to play much anymore, but I love to read. I'm always wanting to learn. And if you're learning, trying to educate yourself in the field that you work in, the better off you will be. Says in verse 7, this is God's blessing. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. If you will walk with God, honor him, walk in integrity, character, he's got your back. He's got you. You don't have to worry about it. When you're living for him, honoring him, pleasing him, having high integrity, character, and you're doing things the right way, you don't have to worry about it. You know, I think about my wife, Michelle, a few years back. She went through a very trying time professionally. And just watching how she went through that and how she did that was amazing. She allowed God to really just take her through that situation. Now, there's a lot of things we wanted to say but didn't, or could have done but didn't. And God had her back. God watched over her, kept her, protected her. And you're going through trials, you're going through things, it's difficulties. You keep walking for the Lord, you keep living for him, and you don't worry about it. He's got you. He watches over his saints. You're in the palm of his hand. There's nothing going to happen to you if you're a child of God. Now, it might be a trying time, but he will make sure that you go through. You may go through the furnace, but praise God, you'll go through it. Amen? He's not going to leave you there. And so he guards over the paths of his saints. Verse 9. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. This is personal ethical behavior, that wisdom, and if you're walking in wisdom and honoring God, that you'll treat people right. You'll treat people fairly. You won't try to cheat someone. You won't try to, you know, pull the wool over somebody's eyes. You'll treat them with dignity and respect and show them the love of Christ. You'll be honest in your dealings. You'll be forthright. This is a person of high character and walking in wisdom. Look at verse 10. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be what? Pleasant to your soul. It's good. The wisdom of God is good things. It brings you peace. When you're doing things right, you don't always have to look over your shoulder and wonder if somebody's coming after to get you, because you're doing things right. Brings peace. Discretion will watch over you, and understanding will guard you. Discretion, that's a good one, isn't it? Don't we need discretion? Discretion is being careful in words and actions. Sometimes the prayer is this: Lord, help me keep my mouth shut. Right? Help me just be quiet. Help me not to lose my temper. Help me know when to say what I need to say. Give me the right timing. Because not everything you think needs to be said. Right? It's like everything you think doesn't need to be posted. Some things you just need to let it go, you know, like Frozen. Just let it go. If you have kids, you know what that, you know, you have small kids. Delivering you, now here's the thing. There's two people that wisdom's going to keep you from. Two dangers, okay? As you're going to school, going to college, this is not just for high school students and college students. This is for us adults as well. There's two types of people that wisdom will guard and guide us and protect us from. You ready to hear who they are? Let's identify them so that we don't get trapped by them. Look. Delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverse speech, who forsake the paths of righteous uprightness, that's morality, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. This is deliberate, obstinate desire to behave in a way that is unreasonable and unacceptable, and often in spite of consequences. There are some people who just love to cause trouble and get in trouble. There are some people, they live for the thrill of doing something that they're not supposed to do. Taking something that they are not supposed to take. Acting in a way that they're not supposed to act. They get thrill out of that, and they'll try to drag you along with them. And they'll get you on their path, and before long, all of a sudden, you find yourself at the wrong place at the wrong time. And it only takes one instance where somebody goes and makes a crazy choice, and you're right there with them, that it can affect you for the rest of your life. You've got to be wise. There are some guys, if you have friends and all they want to do is go out and do crazy things, wild things, you've just got to say, stop. I'm not doing that. If you all want to go do that, I'm not doing it. In high school, there was a guy I played basketball with and a guy that I played baseball with. And the guy that played baseball, he's a pitcher. His name was Sonny. And he's a tough guy. You know, he's one of those tough guys. And he was the kid that would run around Central Park, you know, 1-2 o'clock in the morning with a switchblade in his pocket in case, you know, if he wanted to fight, needed to fight anybody, he could and would. And so we were hanging out one day, and I thought, you know what, it'd be good to kind of hang out with Larry and Sonny. And so we went out one evening and went cruising downtown Ashland. I supporting a Pontiac 6000, four-door sedan. I mean, you got to be cool to pull that one off, right? I mean, we're cruising downtown, you know, in my Pontiac, and they're with me, and then all of a sudden, this car behind us starts blinking their lights, and they're taking their heads out the window, they're flipping us off, and they're shouting, and they're doing all kinds. I'm like, like, what is going on? You know, I'm driving, and I'm thinking, what's their deal, you know? And he's like, ah, you know, these are some bad dudes. I know who they are. And I'm thinking, well, what do we do? Do we get out? You know, I'm thinking, do we fight? You know, I've never really been in a real fight with somebody else. I mean, I fought with some of my friends during, you know, as we was growing up as kids, but I never really fought somebody that I didn't know. But I was like, do we pull over and fight? I mean, what do we do? And so Sonny, who was the tough guy, you know, in the car, he goes, step on it. So I'm like, if he says step on it, I'm stepping on it. So there we go. I'm shooting out, you know, and we're driving around downtown. I mean, there's no cell phones at this time. I can't just call the cops. All right, no cell phones. This is way back in the 1900s. And so we're going around downtown Ashland, you know, and I'm running through red lights, I'm running through stop signs and all this stuff, and finally with my mad skills and my cool car, you know, I got away from them and went off into the sunset free. And that next day at school, Sonny's at lunch, he's like, oh man, wasn't that so cool, wasn't that awesome? I was like, no. I was like, absolutely not. I was like, man, I said, that was the craziest thing. We could have gotten killed. I was like, what in the world? I said, what in the world caused all that? He's like, oh, I flipped him off. I'm like, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'll never go out cruising with you again. Right? So I didn't hang out with him. I'm not going to let him take me down a path that's going to cause danger. Now, I'm still friends with him at school, but just because you're friends with somebody and friendly to somebody doesn't mean you have to be best buddies and go out and do things with them. Okay? That's true for all ages. Okay? There are some guys who just never grow up. And even as adults, if you have a guy and there's a buddy of yours and he keeps telling crude jokes and he's always telling nasty things and trying to get, you know, pointing out all the pretty women in the room and always negative about their wife and always negative about this, you stay away from that guy because he's not going to be good for you. It's not going to be good for your marriage. He's not going to help you grow closer to the Lord. He's actually going to cause you to go down a dark path. And there are people who will take you down a dark path. And you've got to be leery, careful, watchful, discerning, wise, not to engage in that. You hear me? Not only for the guys, but for the girls. I came out with a movie, it's been several years ago, called Mean Girls. And girls, y'all going to be mean. Y'all really can. Girls can be wicked and just diabolical, you know, to each other. And so I would say, you know, for the guys, you got to watch out for, you know, the perverted men, you know, other guys that you may get in contact with. But girls, you got to watch out for those mean girls. Those girls that are always envious, jealous, backbiting, talking about somebody, excluding, making feel other women unattractive or not welcome. It's crazy. It starts young, too. First thing, I was teaching fifth grade, and I didn't have any kids at this time. I was in Louisville, and so a little girl comes up to me and goes, Mr. Kanoy, and she's all distraught. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, what's going on? What do I do? I'm not a counselor. I don't know if I'm ready for this. What's going on? She's like, so-and-so said that she's not going to be my friend anymore. I said, well, tell her to not say that. I didn't know what to do, you know, because as a guy, you growing up, you know, you'll fight your best friend at recess and then be sitting by him at lunch, right? I mean, that's just how boys kind of work things out. But girls, I mean, they're like, I'm not your friend anymore. You know, it's crazy. It's mean, right? So you got to avoid those girls, okay? Watch out for the mean girls. And then the next person that we got to watch out for, it's found in verse 16. You ready? So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. Guys, you got to watch out for the smooth-talking lady. The shady lady. The lady that, man, she looks good, and she sounds sweet. You know? And I know as teenagers, you got to watch out. You got to just put that to death. Just kill it. Just don't let it. Don't be persuaded. Adult men, you know, married men. Whoa, watch out. She still speaks to the married men. And she'll make you believe lies like, oh, she really understands me. Oh, she gets me. My wife, she doesn't, but she does. She understands me. She compliments me. Watch out. And girls, you got to watch out for the sly guy. Oh, yeah, he's buff, you know. He's handsome. He plays football. I get to wear his jersey. I'm special. If you love me, then you'll watch out for his smooth tongue, too. Watch out for his lies. Because he'll try to take away your innocence if he can. And then what happens is it'll pour guilt and shame upon you, and you'll have to battle that the rest of your life. Got to watch out for the sly guy. You see, here's the problem, what we always do. We always think the grass is greener on the other side, don't we? I mean, we think the grass is greener on the other side, but when you get on the other side, it's still grass, right? It's still grass. Oh, the grow, it's better over there. But you go over there, it's still grass. Yeah, but you don't understand, man. I mean, this is plush grass. I mean, this is Scott's Victoria's Secret grass. I mean, this is thick grass that's just, I mean, nah, it's just, oh, you just can't imagine how great this grass is. I mean, she may have great curb appeal, or he may have great curb appeal, but guess what? It's still grass. What you haven't realized is you haven't went around the backyard. And you go down the backyard, and there's weeds, and there's bare spots, and there's all kinds of stuff down there. It's just grass. Yeah. So don't listen to the shady lady or the sly guy. It's not wise. It's not helpful, and it's not healthy. And it will ruin your life. Proverbs wants us to walk in wisdom. Proverbs wants us to acknowledge God, to love Him and live for Him and honor Him. And in so doing, we will bring blessing to those around us and gladness to our own soul. Verse 20, so you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. So you'll live an honest, moral, a life of integrity, of godliness before the Lord. Now look at the promise, verse 21. You ready? For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. Those who walk with integrity will remain in it. The blessing of God will come over your life. His hand of protection will guard you, guide you. He doesn't leave His children. He doesn't forsake us. But those who don't, look at verse 22, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Those who do not love God, serve Him, trust in Jesus, will not stand. The fool will suffer harm in many ways. The fool will suffer harm throughout this life, through the bad choices and decisions and the dishonesty in which they live in, for they set a trap for themselves, the proverb says. So they will suffer much hardship here, and then in eternity they will be separated from God forever. Because Jesus is coming back, and he's going to make all things new. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And Revelation chapter 22, verse 14 says the exact same thing that Proverbs says here. It says, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the what? Tree of life. And they may enter the city by the gates. So those who are believers in Jesus, who love God and honor him and serve him, we enter into the city. We enter into that new heaven, that new earth, that place where we'll be with Jesus forever. And we will enter into the land and we will be with him forever and ever. But outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral, murderers and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. See that? You see, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Have you started there? Do you know the Lord Jesus? Have you called upon him? Have you been humble enough to admit this? I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. And I believe that you died for my sin, and you rose again so that I could have everlasting life. Save me, Lord. Be the Lord of my life and be my God, and have surrendered your life to him. Have you done that? Have you fully trusted in him? Because if not, you've not started the walk of wisdom yet. And if you have, let me ask you this question. How are you increasing in your wisdom? Are you truly treasuring this book? Do you see it as a chest full of treasures that you can learn more about God? Or have you kind of left it to the side? So maybe today the Holy Spirit is saying, you know what? You're missing out on a lot of gold. On a lot of silver. Oh, I've got some precious gems in here. Man, you should see some of the diamonds that I have for my children. If you'll just dig, search, and seek. Maybe today you just want to come and pray together as a family. School's about to start. You want to pray for your kids. You just want to pray together as a family, or you want to pray for your kids. I don't know, but we're about to have invitation time. And the Holy Spirit wants to do a work in us. So I pray that we'd be obedient to what he wants to do in our lives. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we have a chance to call upon you, Lord, to cry out for wisdom, to cry out for mercy, to call out for salvation. And so, Lord, today, if there's someone here, they've never trusted in you, never placed their faith in you, that today, if you spoke to their heart, that they would cry out and say, Lord Jesus, save me. I want to be a believer. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to walk with God. If you've spoken that to somebody, Lord, would you just enable them to step out and say, I'm trusting in Jesus today. Father, for those of us who know you, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts and that we would evaluate our walk with you. Are we listening to the right voices in our life? Are we seeking your direction and guidance? And Father, we just pray for the school year as we begin to start off and pray blessing, Lord, over our schools, over our teachers, Lord. Pray that you would just energize them this year, that they would pour out into the students that they teach, our administrators, God, that you would just allow them to seek their wisdom and guidance from you, Lord. So that they can be a blessing to the school and to the children. And Father, help us to always, always listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and be obedient to him. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's respond. Let's come.